Let's pray. Father, we ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would move in our midst. We need you, Lord God, now. We pray that you would touch us. And Lord, I pray, I confess right now that I cannot deliver this message with any effect unless your Holy Spirit is present to drive this home to our hearts. Lord, the sense of inadequacy upon me is great, and maybe that's a great thing. Because, Father, we come before you right now, and we simply want, and it is in fact why we've come here, to know your Bible and to have it rule and reign in our lives. So, Father, bless now, we pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles and turn this morning to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and by the grace of God, we'll cover verses 54 to 58 this morning, ending this chapter, heading off to chapter 13 as we march through the Bible together here in Luke's Gospel. The message is entitled this morning, The Weather or Not Channel. The Weather or Not Channel. And it has nothing to do with what's been going on here in Southern California. Did God not answer our prayers for rain? Have we not been asking the Lord to break our droughts? Thank God. And I'm grateful that God has been sending rain. There's supposed to be more to come. Last service, I had my tie on. Remember that? I wear a tie when it's raining. I celebrate rain. It's the blessings of God, says the Bible. I know it messes up our hair and gets our cars dirty. But God says rain is from Him. And so I got to take it off because the sun's out. So, boy, we just get everything here in a matter of an hour, don't we? But when we talk about whether or not channel, what are we speaking about? Well, it's very significant about what Jesus is talking about today. And I think God has given us the weather to drive home the message this morning. In Luke chapter 12, verse 54, Jesus said, as he spoke to the multitude, whenever you see a cloud rising up out of the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, it's going to be hot weather, and so it is. Hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you cannot discern this time? Yes, and why even of yourselves? Do you not judge what is right? When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him or settle the account with him, lest he drag you to the judge drag you to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. What is Jesus talking about? Is he talking about the weather? Or is he talking about the events of the last days and us, if it's not the last days specifically, about us living the course of our lives? You know, we love Bible prophecy. God speaks about the future. No other book of the Bible no other book in human history speaks about the future as the Bible does. No other writing comes close. I invite you to try as you may. You can pick all other religious authors of all time, and none of them have got the guts to prophesy prophetic events, that is future events, but the Bible. And some have stolen passages from the Bible to try to add a little bit of credibility to their lie, but they fumble every time. The Bible stands alone as God's word to man. But how do we know? How can we be sure? Many ways, but in line with our study this morning, the Bible tells us about the future. Jesus is speaking about the future. Not only the future that you and I live in today, but the future of those who were listening to him 2,000 years ago. Because whenever the gospel goes out and there's an opportunity for you and I to make a decision about Jesus Christ, know this, that the greatest prophetic doctrine of all is coming to your ears when you hear someone tell you about Jesus. Did you notice that some people, maybe it was all of us at some point in time, we don't want to hear about Jesus. We don't want to hear about it. Oh no, here comes one of those Christians. They're going to tell me about Jesus. Have you noticed that it is such an issue? It's something that kind of drives you up the wall if you're not willing to accept or to listen. It's a spiritual issue. So what Jesus is speaking about, he's not giving them a weather report. It's not the weather channel. It's the weather or not channel of what you're listening and who you're listening to. Jesus said, when you look around this world, when you look outside, you begin to make decisions based upon the weather that's around us. You guys remember that proverb, by the way? Some people think it's a worldly proverb. It's actually lifted from the scripture. Red sky in the morning, what? Sailor, take warning. Red sky at night, sailors, what? Delight. What does that mean? Because if the sky is red and threatening in the morning, sailors know a storm is coming. And so they prepare. If the sky after a storm begins to break up and the sunset is red, then you know the storm is passing. Good weather's ahead. The same is true, Jesus is saying, regarding spiritual things of life. He said people have the ability to step outside and to look around and to feel the wind, to look at the sky, and to make a determination. I remember, and maybe you were with us, we were taking a tour of this church through Israel, and we were in Jerusalem one day, and an unexpected wind came. And it was absolutely amazing because it blew, began to blow harder and harder and harder. It began to kick up dust, and then the temperature plummeted. We all got back to the Jerusalem Hilton there, went to bed, woke up the next morning to a strange silence. We couldn't hear anything going on in the city. I remember looking out the window of my room. Well, I mean, Lisa and I, our room, looked out the window, and Jerusalem was blanketed in about 3 inches of snow. And it shut everything down. It was so beautiful. But how were people knowing to stay indoors and to get ready? Because a strong wind was blowing and things were changing. Church, things are changing in the world today if you haven't caught on. Please hear me out. The world that you and I live in today is rapidly changing. This world, this nation, 20 years ago was so different than it is today. And you say, well, things happen. There's always things changing. It's not because I'm an old man now. I had my 50th birthday the other day, and I feel every bit of it. I got up that morning and celebrated and had 2 extra Advils. It's great. I'm going to start eating those little candy necklaces with aspirin, Advil. Chew on them when I need them. Listen, change is happening. It's not because I'm getting older and I'm looking around. Things are going on, and the world today is in a panic because of change. Look what's going on. We'll talk about that. Jesus said these things are warnings to us. As he approaches the cross, you remember that in Luke chapter 9, Jesus was saying there that we must go to Jerusalem now. And the Bible says that he set his face like flint to Jerusalem because he said, my time is nearing. He knew that he was going to go to the cross. He knew that he was going to be betrayed and beaten and crucified and on the third day be resurrected from the dead. He knew all that. And from that moment on, in Luke chapter 9, he begins to speak and teach strong words. Church, do you remember the message from last week? I hope you were here. Anybody here last week? 3 of you? That's great. Glad you came back. Great to have you back. What did Jesus say concerning him coming into the world? He shocked us, did he not? When he said, don't think I've come to bring peace on the earth. I didn't come to bring peace. He said, wait a minute, I thought he was the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. But he said, I didn't come to bring peace on the earth. I tell you, I came to bring a sword, division. Because when the word of God goes out, he said, there'll be 5 people living in one house. It'll wind up being 3 against 2 and 2 against 3 after they hear the gospel. A mom and a son may accept the Lord, or a father and a daughter may accept the Lord, and the house becomes divided. Jesus was saying, you need to pick and choose because this world is not all that there is. There's going to come a time when the family is no more. When marriage is no more, when time is no more, and your decision for eternal life would have been made. He continues on with these strong sayings, and we know this, that the knowledge that we can have of the Bible is a forecast about tomorrow. Will you jot that down? Verses 54 to 56. He is announcing to us that the Bible tells us about tomorrow's forecast. This way, Jesus warned that clouds would be increasing, not physical clouds. He used that as a picture. If you see the clouds forming in the sky, that means things are changing. If you see clouds forming on the earth, things are changing. That there's a storm coming. And in verse 54, he said, whenever you see a cloud rising up out of the west, immediately you say showers are coming. And it is so. It's just like that. Just like we do. In fact, if you've ever again been to Israel, Southern California is like a snapshot of Israel. We grow the same crops. We grow the same trees. We have the same temperatures. What else? We have a coastline right here, and we have snow-capped mountains right there. And Israel and Southern California is the only place in the world that you can go surfing in the morning and go snow skiing in the afternoon. Did you know that? Israel, you can do the same thing. It's absolutely amazing. So much alike. Our storms predominantly come right out of the west or come up from looping around from the south or from the north, but they enter to us most often right from the coast onto the shore. And Jesus is saying, when you see the wind begin to blow like that, you know things are changing. And he's asking us this morning as Christians, when you see things changing in the world, you need to sit up and take notice because time is running close. He warns us. And church, this morning, you are either in tune with what's going on and you're monitoring the world. And I hope you are as a diligent Christian believer with newspaper open, Bible open. You're looking at the events of this world. Why? God told us to be alert to the times in which we live. But there'd be clouds increasing. Storms would be coming. Jesus said in John 13:19, I tell you that before it comes to pass, and when it does come to pass, you will believe that I am He. God prophesies the future, and He warns us that increasing clouds of difficulty would be coming. America is at a place, and the Western world for that matter, the entire world for that matter, is at a place that it has never seen before. There are things going on both geologically through earthquakes and through storms and activities of the atmosphere. My goodness, just before I came out here, there was a thing on the Fox News that some spy satellite supposed to fall out of the sky and land someplace. Oh boy, that's just great. Get your umbrella out. A satellite's coming down. Things are just absolutely, the economy around the world, things that are going on, violence around the world. Who would have thought that in the 21st century, anti-Semitism, hatred against Jews and the destruction of the nation Israel would be sweeping the globe again. And yet it absolutely is. Isn't it bizarre? The Bible warns that in the last days. Now think about this. The Bible says, and who would have thought? The Bible says in the last days, evil will arise. There'll be false religions. And those who don't submit in Revelation 13 to a world-dominating religion to come, those who do not submit, the Bible says, will be beheaded for their rejection of that cult-like faith. And you and I are living in the 21st century, and we can see and hear about these things today. The Bible is absolutely accurate all the time because it's God's message to us. He said clouds would increase. Things would become more strenuous upon the earth. Secondly, devastating effects would come upon the world. Jesus said, when you see the south wind blow, there will be hot weather, you say. And so it is, hypocrites. Now, he's not being mean right here. He's not making fun of them. He's saying, hypocrites, in this light, you can discern the face of the sky and the earth. But how is it that you cannot discern, market student in the Bible? Not the time, not the times, though that applies to us today. But 2,000 years ago, he said, what? This time. Jesus is saying, listen, you're going to be experiencing devastating effects all because of the fact that I am standing before you, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He says, how is it that you are rejecting, not catching, missing, not aware of the fact of this time? He said, well, Jack, what was he holding them accountable to? From this moment on, Jesus will repeatedly hold the nation of Israel accountable for knowing the scriptures. He's approaching, heading towards Palm Sunday. Read Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. The prophet foretold that Israel will be able to identify her Messiah because he'll ride in Jerusalem on a donkey that has never been ridden before, on the back of a little colt, a donkey. And that was about to happen. Isaiah prophesied that Israel would know their Messiah because when he would come, he would raise the dead, open the eyes of the blind, and cleanse the lepers. Moses even prophesied that when that day of miracle would happen, where a leper would be cleansed, this is what you do. And Jesus said to the lepers who were cleansed, go do what Moses said on the day of your cleansing. Isn't that awesome? The Bible, bang, 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 over and over again. So clear. So, not that you might ignorantly side with the Bible. God gave you a brain. He wants us to use it. He wants us to open up the Bible and judge the world around us with an open Bible and judge the Bible by what's going on around us. Is not what happens in any given life, you can point the chapter and verse of scriptures. Yes. But as things escalate, Jesus gave great warning that there'd be global devastations coming upon the earth. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, named NOAA, Caltech, other areas of study are telling us that for the last 25 years, there's been a parallel increase of super storms and super earthquakes that the world has never seen before. Then we've got the issue of global warming. and all that stuff that's going on about that. Listen, I personally, the Bible says concerning the environment that it's going to go crazy. In fact, Romans chapter 1 tells us that people will get their eyes off of God and begin to worship the creation instead of the Creator. Is the globe warming or not? Well, I don't know if it's warming or not. It's not warming up here very much. We've had three winters of record cold temperatures. So I don't know what Al Gore is doing, but I don't know about global warming. I just know this. As a Christian, I should be a good steward of this earth, but I better not consider and regard this earth as my home. I'm not staying here. This earth, God made it. He's responsible for it. But the Bible says that the sea will eventually begin to roar in ways that it will bring about fear in the hearts of men. Amazing things. And so we want to be very careful. Jesus warns, he says, hypocrites, and again, he's not mocking them. The word hypocrite in Greek means you have one face on your skin, but you put a altogether different face in front of the public. You're happy about something, but you act like you're sad about it. Or you're sad about something, but you act like you're happy about it. Jesus said, listen, you guys, wake up. I mean, he's not saying that to you. He's saying that to them back then. Of course he's saying it to us. He says, wake up, look around, check out the weather. It means things are changing. Check out the days and the times in which you live. Things are happening. Don't walk around being sad about, oh, look at these events. Oh, my goodness, look at that. Look at the stock market. Look at all this thing that's going on. Look at the dollar. Look at all this stuff that's happening. And then act like nothing's happening. It doesn't mean you're all supposed to be dragging your face around in the dust. It means that you're to look up because your redemption draws near. This is an amazing time. The Christian who understands this and can read the signs of the times, it's pretty exciting days. Yes, there's a lot going on, but God told us these things would happen. So we have hope. Jesus said in Matthew 24:4, answering, and he said to them, take heed that nobody deceives you. They asked him, when's the end of the world coming, Jesus? Everybody wants to ask that question, but nobody will ask it. But everybody thinks about it. And you say, how do you know? Because go to the checkout stand. The Inquirer magazine will tell you, when's the end of the world? Everybody wants to know. Jesus says, I'll tell you what, just calm down. It ain't going to happen just yet. There are going to be some things that have got to happen first. And they said, what is it? What is the sign of your coming? And what can we expect when you return? And he said, okay, I'll tell you. Take heed that nobody deceives you. There's going to be grand deception. Many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. And in other words, offering other religions than what Jesus has provided at the cross for eternal life. And they will deceive many people. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you're not troubled, because all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Really? Yes. He says why in verse 7. For or because nation will rise against nation. That's not Canada against America. The word is ethnos will be against ethnos. Ethnicities will fight against ethnic groups. Whites against blacks. Blacks against Hispanics. Hispanics against whites. Asian. The whole thing, Jesus said, is going to start trending downward to a very, very divided world. That's sad. That's what happens, by the way. You know, I love the fact that when the Bible's taught, young people and old people come to hear it. White people, black people, green people, yellow people, red people, blue people. You pick a color. When the Bible's taught, people want to gather around the Bible. God is absolutely colorblind, and I love it. The Bible says that there's no division now between Jew or Gentile in Christ. Gentile is every one of us who's not a Jew. Jesus Christ tears down the wall of division. It's a horrible thing to think that, well, you know, we're a white church, or we're a black church, or we're a red church, or we're a yellow church. How about that there's a church that Jesus died for, and when we believe in Him, we come together in Christ, and all that petty junk goes away. And justice is served. Love is extended. Grace is known. And people, because their eyes are focused on Christ, are independent and irregardless of colors and positions. Well, we're a rich church, or we're a poor church. Jesus said, watch out for such things. There'll be ethnic groups against ethnic groups in the last days, and political kingdoms against political kingdoms. There will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places, and all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and hardship and kill you, and you'll be hated by all the nations for my name's sake, Jesus said. In Luke 21, 26, he said, when these things begin to come upon the earth, men's hearts will begin to fail them for fear. I wonder what the I'd like the plot. I'd like to see how many doctors got visited this last week and a half around the world because of the global market. Have you guys been watching what's going on? You say, I don't have any stock and I don't have any investments. You're a smart guy. I watch this stuff because it's so incredibly prophetic. We can go off on that forever. I won't do it. I'll spare you of that. But think about everything. The Bible warns about a day when there's going to be a need for one global currency to be created. Well, you can't have euros and dollars and pesos and whatevers when you have one currency coming. And then what about, the Bible says, the nations of the world will be against Israel in the last days. How many nations of the world? All the nations of the world. The Bible says when Israel comes under attack in Ezekiel chapter 37 and 38, how many nations come to help Israel when she's under attack? Anybody know? None, including America. What will happen? Will it be because of the rapture and America's devastated? I don't know. That'd be nice. I think it's possibly because America has gotten too weak and unable to respond to Israel's needs, let alone her own needs. We're in a time like never before. On a global scale. You say, no, it's like 1929 all over again. No, this is global in a different way. And plus, there are other circumstances that would speak that these are very, very trying days. Jesus said, when you see these things, Mark 13, 29, you need to know that it's about to happen and my coming is at the door. Wow. Well, also this, knowing the biblical forecast for tomorrow, I understand Jesus warns about a false sense of security, increasing clouds of storms coming, devastating effects upon the world, and also a false sense of peace and safety. Jesus says, you hypocrites, you discern the face of the sky and the earth. But how is it that you can't discern this time? And I need you to hear this loud and clear. Church, listen carefully. Don't raise your hand, okay? Don't raise your hand. Have you ever said or had somebody say to you, well, the Lord's coming like a thief in the night. Nobody knows the day or the hour. That's true. Nobody knows the day or the hour. But he's going to come like a thief in the night. You know, he's coming like a thief in the night, you know. You better be careful when you say that. 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us, verse 1 there, Paul the Apostle says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, the context is his return, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly, listen, that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon who? Them. As labor pains upon a pregnant woman. They shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that that day should overtake you as a thief. You want to know why? We've got our Bibles open and we're watching and seeing things. When we know that the Bible says that Israel will become a nation in one day. Did you know that? Isaiah the prophet said that. 1,000 years ago. No, I'm sorry. 3,000 years ago. Isaiah said, keep your eye out on Israel and become a nation in one day. Well, if you were born after 1948, you've always had Israel on a map. Prior to 1948, there was no Israel on the map for 2,000 years. No nation in the history of the world has ever existed, then stopped existing, and came back into existence, but one only. That ought to wake you up right there. And by the way, it's the most hated nation in the world. Israel. You say, I don't believe in the Bible. Well, how do you explain that? That the nation would be born a second time in one day. What day was it? Anybody know what day it was? You guys are great. May 14, 1948. The nation was born in a day. But since that nation has been born in a day, what's gone on? Ever since that nation has come about, there's been a constant attempt to get that nation to give up land, to give up the Temple Mount, to give up area for peace. You all aware of that? It's one of the most famous things in all of the world, boardrooms and governmental rooms of the world figure out what in the world is going to happen in Israel. And it's the focal point because of it's being a hinge there in the Middle East. But Jesus, Paul the Apostle, the Bible warns that there'd be warning signs. And you think about these last couple of weeks and how the mortgage crisis has caused global repercussions. And but peace and safety, it's okay, it's going to be fine. Are you hearing that over and over again? It's going to be fine. You know, I get a little nervous. I was on too many flights this week. I had a meeting with the Family Research Council, and I left on Wednesday. And you guys, it was stormy on Wednesday, and the pilot says in LAX, "Now keep your seatbelts on. We're going to be taking off here pretty soon. We're probably not going to have service, food service today." Because he said, "Listen, I love these guys. They're just like doctors. It could be a little bumpy." Bumpy does not mean bumpy, and could be does not mean could be. You guys, I got to tell you, I have my pilot's license, and I love flying since I was a kid, and I kind of enjoy turbulence. I'm a sicko. I think it's pretty cool. I got to tell you, I was tired from gripping the seat, and when we landed, I had such a headache from the stress of that plane being kicked around. And it was the same way coming back home the other night. And man, I got to tell you, when they say, "It's going to be fine. All right, it's going to be great. I hope you enjoyed flying with us." Are you kidding me? "Well, thank you for choosing Continental Airlines, and we hope you enjoyed flying with us today." Give me a break. You should have paid me for hanging on to this piece of metal. I got a cramp. Give me a massage in my hands. The world is saying, "Be calm, be peaceful, it's all going to be fine." And then it's so fine, you guys. It's so good. It's so good in the world that India is saying, "Please, Americans, start buying stuff again." China is saying, "Will you guys start getting out your credit cards and buying stuff again? We got all these people working over here and we need you to buy stuff." Look at the news. Economies are freaking out right now because what started with the mortgage crisis, and that really wasn't it in the long run. The fact is that because we're so much in debt as a nation, did you know in the last several funding efforts for the war in the Middle East, in Iraq, did you know that we borrowed money from the world and we borrowed money from China? You say, "Well, but everything's okay now, peace and safety. We're okay here in America. We can just draw the curtain and forget about the rest of the world. Just right down the tube, because we're America. We're all right. Remember in God we trust?" Really? I don't think so. And so things are going so good that the president says, "If we're going to give you $800, listen, we're going to give you $800. Any day the government gives you back money, something's wrong. And if you're a couple, you get $1,600. And if you're a family, you get a little bit more than that." Why? I heard it this week. On an analysis, they said, "How could this backfire?" One guy said, "It could backfire this way. People decide to save it." What if they save it? If they don't spend it, then we're just going to keep going down and we're going to crash this thing. They got to spend it. So don't pay anything off, you guys. Spend, spend, spend the money you don't have. Spend it. They want us to go spend it. So one of the financial analysis guys said, "Oh no, people have got to spend it. That's the only way it's going to work." And then some guy, and I thought they were going to kill him on Bloomberg Radio or whatever it was, said, "Well, there is another problem that no one's talking about. It's X amount of billions of dollars. Anybody know how much it is that they're going to give to us? It's huge. Billions to try to get the economy to recover from its dive that it's going through. You know where we're getting the money?" Who said it over here? "We're borrowing the money from China to give to the Americans to spend." Can you believe that? You say, what? Listen, men's hearts will begin to fail them for fear in the last days. And we're not even in the end of the end of the end of the last days. It's amazing. If that wasn't enough, what are some of the indicators? The storm clouds brewing on the horizon. Condoleezza Rice said 2 weeks ago, "Israel will have to make serious sacrifices for peace by giving up land and parts of Jerusalem." Israel said, "What does our enemy get? What do they have to give up? Are you ready for this? They have to give up terrorism. Oh, great. Thank you. Gee, that sounds like a victory for the bad guys. All right, we won't blow anybody up anymore. Give us land. You say, man, what's with that? Again, Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. God says, in the last days, I will come against every nation who divides my people Israel. You think that's a coincidence? It's serious. Those are signs of the times. Those are clouds on the horizon. Very important. Point number 2, verse 57. Is it whether or not? Do the right thing to be prepared. That's what Jesus is saying. All right, now that you've heard this and seen this, do the right thing. Number one, he admonishes. He would say today, why are you not seeing this? Look at verse 57. Yes, and why even yourselves do you not judge what is right? Don't you judge what's right? The answer should be yes, right? He says, come on, you guys, you make decisions. And you want to make the right decisions, correct? Yes. Then he said, then do the right thing. You guys, if there was ever a verse that you could label that is exposing political correctness, it's this verse. Jesus is saying, come on, you guys. Come on, you know to make good decisions. You can make the right decisions. When it's stormy, you get an umbrella. When it's hot, you wear cooler clothing. I'm going to the cross. Exactly what the Bible warned about. David said, 1,000 years before I go to the cross, my hands and my feet are going to be pierced. Know the weather. In fact, can you guys put this up on the screen? This is this week. Take a look at this. And look how common things have become to us and how much it influences our life. You've all seen this is the Weather Channel. And we love, I don't know what it is about that, but can you just like drool when you watch that? I could watch that for hours. Look at us. Rain. The green is rain. Look at that. Watch. There's more. Why? Why is it a big deal? Because there's something about us knowing what's coming. You know what? Let's go picnic today. Well, how's the weather going to be? Is it going to be windy? Let's go take a trip. Where? What's the weather going to be like? If it doesn't have a palm tree, I'm not going. What about you? Think of that. We turn it on and we're just blind. Oh yeah, cool. Uh-huh. What's the temperature going to be? 63. I'll wear a sweater. All right, let's go. Jesus is saying, will you do the same thing? You judge like that? Can you judge the fact that the Bible is here before you and you need to decide? Make a decision. That's enough. That's beautiful, though, isn't it? You can watch that forever. I just think that's the greatest thing. You look at the weather and you determine, am I going to get my snowboard out or am I going to get the surfboard out? And you make a determination based upon what's coming. Jesus says, please do the same thing. Do you see this, he is saying? Do you understand this? What are one of the great things we mentioned earlier, but we'll say it again. Matthew 24:24, Jesus said that right before he comes back, there's going to be false Christs, false prophets. They will arise. They're going to do great, demonic, miraculous signs and wonders before the people and if to deceive them. And if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, listen right now. Jesus said, listen, read your Bible carefully. Demonic powers are coming in the last days that if you don't know your Bible, you're going to be fooled into following them. And they're already on the world scene and they're coming more. He said, if it were possible, even my own people would be deceived. If you've ever and it's true in the Greek, the original scriptures. And if you've had a logic class, that's very comforting words. If it were possible. Translation, it is impossible for his people to be deceived. Aren't you glad that he's given us this word that we can test everything? When somebody says, hey, I promise you this, or I'm a that, or I'm the other. Jesus said, get out your Bible and watch them. You ever see the guys walking along the beach with those headphones on looking for nickels? Boop, 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 boop. Don't those guys drive you nuts when they're right by you? Say, get out of here. Man, that's how we should be with the Bible. Boop, 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 boop. But no, if somebody's a false prophet, we don't want to hurt his feelings. Just let them go do their thing over there. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, you can't do anything about it but pray them out of existence or pray that they come to Christ or warn people. But the guy that was coming up from Mexico, remember him? Whatever happened to him? Remember the guy? He was the Messiah. Did you see that guy on the news? Everybody's following him. He made like $100 million off of suckers who sent him money. And where is he today? He's probably in Acapulco somewhere. And he's getting a nice tan right about now. Jesus said, watch out for these nuts. They're coming. He didn't say nuts. He said something worse than that. And so we want to be very careful. He would say, are you seeing what's going on? And then secondly, why are you not doing this? Why are you not exercising this discernment? Verse 57, in that part where he says that even you yourselves, do you not judge what is right? Then do this about spiritual things. Know your Bible. Don't pull it out on a Sunday morning because you're going to church. Every day. So listen to this. How politically incorrect is this? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But there will be false prophets among the people, even as there are false teachers among you now, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, that is, denying the cross, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many people will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth is blasphemed. Wow. 1 John 4, verse 1. 1 John 4, 1 says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they be of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Listen, every spirit or person that confesses that Jesus is Christ, that is Messiah. Jesus is my Messiah. Every person that can confess that, believing it, that he has come in the flesh, is of God. And every person that does not confess that Jesus Christ or Messiah has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is now already in the world. So with increasing deception, we near the Lord's return. And there's all kinds of things out there. People keep writing me and asking me about the secret. The secret. Who the secret? Oprah's for the secret. The secret's from hell. Well, what about that guy that does that program and he sees the light that's coming and he tells you about the future and the wait, the light's coming. I'll tell you. Ask him about Jesus. Who is Jesus? Oh, he was one just like me. These guys are everywhere. And then he would say in verse 57, why are you not living this? You guys make decisions about what you're going to eat and what about the weather, what you're going to wear. Why are you not living as though I'm coming back? Or living as though the hour is running out? Okay, now listen, here's the application time. It's our third point, verses 58. Take the path that Christ has set for us. And this is, I'll confess, this is personal. Number one, keep the path clear of hazards. Things that attach onto our heart. Ladies and gentlemen, church, Jesus said right here, verse 58, when you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. Number one, keep the path of your Christian walk clear of hazards. This is going to take a life change on someone's part here today. You're a Christian, but there's just too much stuff in the path. Remember Martha and Mary? Remember Mary and Martha? Lazarus, the sisters. Where's Martha? Anybody tell me. Where's Martha always at? In the kitchen. We've got to have people in the kitchen. I mean, that's wonderful. Where's Mary? Every time he said, where's Mary? Sitting at the feet of Jesus, always listening. We've got to have people listening. And that's great. But Jesus said to Martha, Martha, Martha. He had to say it twice. Martha, Martha. You are encumbered. You're burdened with a lot of things. You're really distracted. Are you distracted? We are distracted. We live in a tough time. We are distracted. And you guys, when we begin to think that we can have one foot in the world and one foot in the church and we're going to be just dandy and fine and God's going to overlook this, and everybody's doing it. Listen, you're on the brink of deceiving yourself. In Galatians 6, verse 7, the Bible says, "Be not deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatsoever a man sows or does, that's what he's going to reap." And some of you are hearing the Holy Spirit this morning poking your heart right now. Man, I just thought getting high and coming to church was the cool thing to do. You laugh. Listen, it happens. I talked to a guy about a month ago in this church. I could hardly talk to him because of his alcohol breath. We thought that just smoking some dope and going to church was, you'd hear the word of God better. I'm not kidding. What are you, crazy? Well, I thought if I beat my wife before I go to church, I could, what? A little bit of pornography or a little bit of nastiness this way or that way, and then go and praise the Lord, you know? This is serious stuff. Listen, I love you. Jesus loves us, and he's saying, read the weather signs in the spiritual realm. Time's running out. And what if he came today? See, I don't believe he's going to come today. Well, what if the ground opened up in a 9.10 earthquake? 9.10. A 10. Just make it a normal 10. 10.0. It doesn't have to be the clouds parting and the trumpet blast. You can have a little tweak in your heart today. Where will you go? Jesus wants you with him. Is that so bad? He wants you to be with him? You say, well, why does he just take me like that then? I mean, I can just go live my life and it's all cool in the end. You've got to choose him. That's the rules. That to all those who receive him, to them gave he the power to become sons and daughters of God, children of God. John 1:12. Keep the hazards clear from the path. Paul the Apostle warned, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Have we forgotten that? Revelation chapter 6 warns us that in the last days, people will call out in the tribulation period and they'll say, rocks and hills fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Wow. It doesn't have to be so difficult. Also this, stay true to the path. Have you made a commitment to Christ? Christian, today like never before, it's time to renew your commitment. And I want to encourage you about this. Stay true to the Lord because he'll never let you down. You guys, come on. I encourage you to vote. Absolutely. I'll be voting. We should be involved in the process. We should email our governors and senators and let our voice be heard. All that stuff. We should feed the homeless. Get involved. But you know what? Like the hippies of old, I'm just passing through. We're just passing through, man. And as a Christian, I'm just passing through. But listen, Cotton Mather said that every time he went into a room, he wanted to leave something good in that room by the time he left, walked out. Isn't that a beautiful thing to think about? As a Christian, we could go see God today. It could be at the end of our old life. But we need to be obedient to the Lord and focused on him. Ladies and gentlemen, I know God is telling me, Jack, keep a light touch on the earth. Don't grab onto stuff. Just hang on. Just be ready. I don't know why he's saying that. Is he coming back soon? Am I going to go see him? I don't know. But I know this. Whatever I own, whatever I have, it's all his and I don't really own it. And I know after last service I said that and so many people came up to me and said, I'm feeling the same thing. A real temporary ness in this world. And I'm telling you, that is strong in my heart. Is he coming soon? Is the weather going to be changing? Has it already changed? And this morning it comes down to this. He says, why don't you judge rightly? Some of you are saying, why don't you put a sock in it? I'm not going to change. I'm doing my thing and I love this world and it's cool. It's going good for me. And listen, I'm glad you're doing good. But the Bible says, watch out, because money can sprout wings and fly away. Are you trusting in money? We're the most powerful nation on the earth. Ooh, the Bible says some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. But His people will trust in the Lord their God. Watch out. Is America over? Is it done? Is the dollar falling and tumbling? And is the euro at an all-time high? And is the stocks and all this stuff going on? Has John Lang Homes been bought by a Saudi prince? Has Citibank been rescued by an Abu Dhabi prince? Yeah? What's going on? Could it be that God in His mercy is getting our attention? Could it be announcing to us that the weather's changing? It would be a good thing, I'm sad to say. Because in our blessings, we have forgotten God. Just like Israel forgot God on their blessings. Oh, God, please bless us. And He blessed them. And then they were so rich. And the Bible says they forgot God. And then they began to get nasty. They got carnal. And they welcomed in other gods. They forgot about the Lord. And they were so rich, they forgot about the Lord. They began to get involved in spiritism and the worship of other gods. And God said, hey, turn from your way. Don't do that. Don't do that. And they said, get out of here. And then He brought judgment upon them because He loved them. Where are we on that cycle? Get your Ten Commandments out of here. Get the Bibles out of school. Bring in other books of religion. Be like Iowa this week. Did you see on the 24th of this week, Iowa, what they did in the state house? I'm not going to tell you. You won't believe it if I told you. Google Iowa State House prayer. You'll get sick. Unbelievable. We have exchanged our God. We've given up. Can God turn this nation around? Only if you and I take it seriously to pray and call out to Him. A spiritual revival is the only thing that's going to turn this awesome, wonderful country around. And then we end with this. We need to continue on the path until it's clear. All the way through to the end. Christian, listen, I want to encourage you right now. Are you ready for this? I'm going to tell you something right now. Those of you who are Christians that are here today, I got to tell you something. You continue on to the end. Number one, Jesus is going to see you through. He's promised to do that. But I want you to hear this. Just before first service began, I was on the phone, on the speakerphone, at Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris. Your team, our missions team, is in Paris getting their connecting flight. And they had the speakerphone on. I was praying with them and saying hi to them. And we believe God's going to do awesome things in Mali with you guys. And all that is absolutely true. Do you realize how much faith it took for these precious moms and dads and kids and everybody in between to get on an airplane, to leave their families, to fly to Africa, to tell one Muslim about the love of Jesus that they're not allowed to hear? And to take care of school that you guys have built over there? Lord willing, too, we're going to be drilling a well there for water for them. Do you know how much faith it took? Do you know how much faith it's taking for them now to be landing? Or they're en route, as I speak, to Africa? You say, well, that's something, that's something. Wait a minute. Do you realize how much faith it took for you to come here today? Don't underestimate that. You came here today to seek the heart of God. Don't discredit that. Well, Jack, I don't know. That's for other people. You're here and you're listening. And Jesus is saying, you know what? If you're a child of mine, I'm going to see you all the way through to the end. I will be faithful to you. I will never leave you or forsake you. He'll take you all the way through to the end. And if you're not a Christian today, He's saying, I love you and I want to take you all the way through to the end. I don't ever want to leave you or forsake you, He's saying to you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, what's your name? If your name's whosoever, that's you. If it's Mike or Fred, that's you. If it's Susie or Stella, that's you. Isn't it awesome? Jesus is not saying, oh, death to all of you. The storm's coming and I'm glad. You guys can drown. I'm not going to go to the cross. You're all a bunch of knuckleheads. I'm leaving. He could have. No, He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to Me, men and women. What an amazing God we have. And so, what should I do? You and I are called to abide in Christ. You know what that means? Abide in Christ. John chapter 15. To abide in Christ is to live with Him. Can you do that? You can do that. It means invite Him. The word means to dwell with Him. Watch this. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you want to dwell with Christ? There are some of you today, you don't want anything to do with them. You came here because you're going to get a free lunch in a minute. Or somebody invited you to breakfast for brunch. I don't go to church. Free dinner, free food. Whatever your motive. You don't want him, believe me. He still wants you, but if you don't want him, he's not going to force you. But do you want him today? Oh, man. That's great. He'll see all the way through to the end. And keep a light touch on this world. You guys, no matter what happens in this world, heaven's our home. It's where we're going. That's what's going to last forever. It's not our cars. It's not our houses. It's not our clothes. It's not the money that's evaporating by the minute. It's the Lord. Do you know him? I'm going to pray with you right now. You can come to meet him right now. It's that simple and that difficult. It's your choice. Let's pray right now. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Worship team can come forward now. And Father, I ask you, Lord, that you'd move upon these hearts right now. There are those here today that you're pricking in their heart a sense of urgency that they need to settle this right now. And as it said, settle with your adversary while we're on the way. Right now, Christian, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you be praying. For those of you who are about to make a decision, and I pray that's the case for you, right now, Jesus Christ, who wants to be a blessing to you, whose arms are outstretched to you, who said and ministered this truth, that if you confess your sins to him, he will forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, that he will write your name in his book of life. Right now, he stands as a gracious, loving Savior, arms extended. But the hour will come when he will become an adversary of your soul. Time will have ended. So settle out of court with him now and say, Lord, I come to you. I don't want to meet you in judgment, Jesus. I don't want to meet eternity without you. My friend, there's no other message in all the world than Jesus having come and died for you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're saying yes to that, will you raise your hand wherever you're at right now? I will see your hand and I'll just acknowledge your hand being up. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you in the back right here up front. A couple of you are there. Over to my left, God bless you. Anyone else? Are you kind of stirred up right now? Is there like a little agitation happening? That's the Spirit of God touching you. I remember that 30 years ago. God bless you. Anybody here thinking, I need to do this? You're scared? I understand that. You're nervous? I understand that. God bless you, 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 and you. And you. I know this sounds almost or seems kind of silly, but don't underestimate the fact that God is listening. God is speaking to you and prompting you right now. And you'll know it, by the way, as the day goes on today. This is what's great. This is not religion. This is you meeting Christ, the author and the finisher of this faith of yours. Father, I pray that you'd bless these as they today agree, Lord, that, and we agree with them. We cannot save ourselves. We can't be good enough. That would insult you. We can't impress you. That would be ridiculous. We come as lost and lonely children, alienated from you. And we ask you, Lord, to receive us now based upon the merits of Jesus Christ and him alone. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. And we receive you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Listen, let's stand if you would. And many of you, those...